باب حديث داشت اباكش جو يزيه لرز دفرات اوتي جديد The Quran is the basis of the deen of Islam. And on the preservation and propagation of Quran depends the very existence of this deen. Hence the virtue of learning and teaching the Quran is self-evident and does not need further elucidation. There are, however, various degrees of excellence. The highest is to learn the Quran along with its meaning and purport. And the least is to learn the words only. See what Shaykh Sahib says. The highest is to learn the Quran with its meaning and purport. And the least is to learn the words alone, only. The hadith mentioned above is also supported by another saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Salim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. If a person who has acquired knowledge of the Quran considers another person who has been gifted with something else to be more fortunate than himself, he has shown a disrespect to the blessings of Allah bestowed on him on account of his learning the Quran. It is evident that since the Quran, being the word of Allah, is superior to all other discourses, as mentioned in some of the hadith quoted later, its reading and teaching must be superior to everything else. As I mentioned to you, Quran al-Kareem, now we will divide it, how to protect Quran al-Kareem, how to preach Quran al-Kareem, how to propagate Quran al-Kareem. And I mentioned to you various things. The reading of it, when I say reading of it, now with Qiraat, Tajweed, the common man must learn how to read it properly, correctly. Then the scholars must learn the various styles of reading Quran al-Kareem. Then the various narrations of reading Quran. Then the common man, he must learn at least what he is saying in the Salat. Simple surahs, he must be able to learn the meanings. Then when he is reading Alam Tara, he knows what he is saying. When he is reading Leela fi Quraysh, he knows what he is saying. The scholar must know the details of it, the in-depth study, the ulama. Then further, the objections laid against the ayats of the Quran al-Kareem, or the objections laid against any aspect of the Quran al-Kareem, the ulama must study them and refute them, the scholars. Then those who write the Quran al-Kareem, they also have got a service to Islam. They write it and they preserve Quran al-Kareem by their writing. Those who understand Quran al-Kareem, they preserve Quran al-Kareem by their understanding. So the Quran can be protected and is protected with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by those even who are practicing upon Quran al-Kareem. The person giving zakat, he is protecting those ayats of zakat in the Quran al-Kareem. The person making salat, he is protecting those ayats in the Quran which are saying that you must make salat. Now, in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the subsequent eras, what should happen in the masjid? These days the role of the masjid has not been fully understood. And if we do not take stock of ourselves and make a concerted effort to understand the role of the Jamaat Khana, the role of the masjid in the area, then we'll be like what we are, sleeping all the time. In those days, and the imitation of those days, alhamdulillah, you can see in the Masjid of Madinatul Munawwara, the Haram of Madinatul Munawwara, and Makkatul Mukarrama. Then after Salat, before Salat, you will see the activities going on. Someone is learning, someone is teaching. Simple. You'll see someone teaching, an elderly person teaching a youngster. You'll see him teaching him the Quran, how to read it. He'll be reading, the youngster is repeating. Simple is teaching him how to read Quran al-Kareem. Then you see some small gathering where the person is explaining the meaning of the Quran al-Kareem. He's just explaining the meaning and he's carrying on. You see another gathering where the person is explaining in depth what the Quran is saying. And he's discussing in depth what the Quran is trying to say and what the Quran is, what's the Quran's message to us. These days, what we regard the masjid as, that you come here, make the salat, and as soon as we can, we go away home. As soon as the first opportunity comes, we got into the laps of the wives. And the laps of the wives, and the bed is so warm that when the muazzin is saying, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, that the salat is better than the sleep, then the person hears the alarm, he hears the azan, and still the bed is warm, and the wife is warm, and he cannot move. And then he says, I'm ready for jihad. The next breath, when the sun rises, then he says, I'm ready for jihad. How can he be ready for jihad? He can't even leave his wife and come to the masjid. So the masjid, when we understand the role of the masjid, that what should be happening, person should be teaching Quran here, person should be making tafsir there, person should be helping someone there, what you understand by the Quran, person in that corner should be explaining another person the zakat masla, another person should be explaining, listen your salat, let me teach you how to make it properly. So the masjid is our spiritual powerhouse. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in one hadith that a Muslim, when he comes into the masjid, he's like a fish in water. A fish in water. How the fish feel comfortable in the water? That it does not want to leave the water. And when you take out the fish from the water, what happens? That fish begins to jump, begins to now shiver and quake and quiver. Why? It wants to get back into that water. When it gets back into that water, then it will relax, then it will be able to move freely, it's in comfort and ease. But then Rasulullah says that the hypocrite and his ta'alluq, his relation to the masjid is like the bird waiting for the cage to open so he flies away. Once the bird, cage opens, the bird flies away. The bird does not want to come back to the cage. That's the relationship, meaning of that hadith. So, this hadith is stating that we should learn the teaching Quran, all aspects of the Quran. And we must know where this teaching should take place. And once we teach Quran in the masjid, all aspects of Quran. Now what has happened, alhamdulillah, we are very happy and content with this, with this style. That you see, Monday we're having this, Tuesday we're having this, Monday we'll have Diriyah, Tuesday we'll have Tafsir, Wednesday we'll have inshallah Fiqh, and Thursday we'll have one other subject, History, and Friday inshallah one other subject, Islam. So alhamdulillah. So the Muslim feels so very happy now, I'm doing everything. But no, the day of Rasulullah, hadiths they are there, that Rasulullah, when he should come out of his room, then he should see various pockets of gatherings in the masjid. And all those pockets are doing different things. As Rasulullah should choose and go and sit with one of those gatherings. Not disapproving of the other gatherings. Yeah? Why? Now this must come back, that all subjects must come alive simultaneously in the masjid. But that is why the Jamaat is saying also that come closer to the masjid, spend more time in the masjid. When we spend more time in the masjid, then the masjid and the mahal and the environment of the masjid will enable us to fight what is outside the masjid. And when we sit in the masjid and we learn in the masjid, for example, Salat itself we make in the masjid, but what we learn in Salat must be implemented outside. When we implement it outside, then we are fulfilling the right of the salat that we perform inside the masjid. But when we will learn that, when we sit in the masjid and we inquire and we behave how the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala behaved towards the Quran, respect the Quran, honor the Quran, and learn about the Quran. The more we learn about the Quran, inshallah Allah ta'ala will open and bring mercy unto the hearts of the people. And if you look at those places where the Quran is being taught in the masjid, and where every activity which occurred during the time of Rasulullah in the masjid is occurring, then there is barakat, there is mercy. And then it doesn't mean you have to have a fanciful masjid, or it doesn't mean you have to have a very big Jamaat Khana. No, small, effective, functional. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding about that. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I was discussing Surah Lila fi Quraysh. And I mentioned a few things, I'll continue. The ulama say the word Quraysh, for example. Discussing this word, Quraysh itself, Ulama has given various interesting explanations. It comes in a tafsir called Kamalin. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that Quraysh was actually a type of a fish found in the oceans and seas. And this fish, by the name of Quraysh, should eat up other fishes. And it was very powerful and strong, and it was fearless. It had a lot of courage and valor in it. And this fish, Quraysh, was like the lion. In this way, that the lion fears fire. And this fish also should fear anything sparkling, anything shining. So the Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh, got the title of Quraysh because they had these qualities of courage, valor, and bravery, and they were fearless. It is stated in the tafsir also that this fish should not even fear the ships and all those boats in those oceans. So far, fearless it was. As it says on this Quraysh also, that they were fearless. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying these Quraysh, the Quraysh, that these Quraysh here is astonishing. They should be fearless against mankind and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is stated the link between Alam Tara, which was before Surah Lila Fi Quraysh, and this Surah is very simple. That in Alam Tara we learn that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He saved by His mercy and will, He saved and protected the Kaaba. And He protected the Quraysh, because the Quraysh were the custodians of the Kaaba. The Quraysh were the custodians of the Kaaba. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Surah is saying the Quraysh, that I've given you protection from Abraha and the people of the elephants. You should recognize me, I am your Rabb. You should make ibadat of me, I am your Rabb. And in this Surah Lila Fi Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I've given you that the pleasure and the honor of going out in journey twice a year, in winter and summer. And also I've given you protection against fear, and I've fed you when you were hungry. All these things, these boons and favors I've given you, O Quraysh, appreciate it. And O Quraysh, how you can appreciate this? By worshipping the Rabb of Hazal Bayt. You worship the Rabb of this Bayt, of this house. So in the first surah, in the Alam Tara, he protected against Abraha, and in this surah he's given the protection against fear and hunger, and he has protected and given them safety. It is stated that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them from fear, that all around Makkah al-Mukarramah, there was looting, murder, caravans should go and the people should just rob it. People of Arabia should go, people were just looting them, killing them, murdering them, ambushing them. But it is stated that when the Quraysh went out, then the people should say, oh, these people are from the Quraysh, and these people are connected with the Kaaba. These people are caretakers of the Kaaba, and we must not harm them. We must not harm them, they must be kept in peace and allowed passage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Quraysh. This Quraysh, and Rasulullah is from that khandan, from that tribe. The Quraysh, the Banu Hashim. Rasulullah is from the Banu Hashim. Banu Hashim, Quraysh, Linka. So he's saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them, see how I am giving you respect, dignity and honor. Why? Dignity, honor, respect, everything comes from Allah. And how I am giving it to you? That the people, they love you, protect you, that when they want to ambush you and you say that, listen, we are from the Quraysh, then they say, oh, these people are from the Quraysh, they are the custodians of the Kaaba, leave them. It is stated that even one Qurayshi, one person from the Quraysh, if he went out on the journey, in those days, when there was flames of fire exploding all around Makkah al-Mukarramah, flames of fire, I'm using an expression, that there was fighting and looting and murdering going around, bloodshed, everything around Makkah. Then one Quraysh can go out, and he was able to go out peacefully. And if anybody wanted to kill him, and had a dagger over him, and wanted to slaughter him, having a sword over him, then this person said, Ana min haram Allah, that I am from the haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am from the haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that I am one of the Quraishis, I am one of the custodians of the Kaaba. They say the person should leave the dagger down or leave the sword down and say that this person is protecting the Kaaba and we must not interfere with them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Quraysh that this dignity I have given you and this protection that I have given you, and this security that I have given you, is all because you are connected with the Kaaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are connected with my house, therefore you are getting status. You are connected with my house, therefore you are getting dignity. You are connected with my house, therefore you are in peace. You can travel. One of you can travel. So what you must do in return? فَلِيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ الْحَاسَ الْمَيْتِ. That you must worship, you must make ibadah, you must glorify, you must praise the Rabb of the Bayt. You must praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what you must do? Because the Quraysh were involved also in this bowing before the idols. They were bowing before the 360 idols. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you must leave that shirk. You must shun that shirk. Give up those idols. You must break those idols. Leave them and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated in the same tafsir kitab that the virtue of reading Surah Al-Leela fi Quraysh. It is reported in one hadith that the virtue of reading Surah Al-Leela fi Quraysh is that the amount of people making tawaf and i'tikaf times 10, so much tawaf you will get. Let me explain to you. Like, say that if there are 1,000 people making tawaf, and 100 people or 1,000 people in the world, somewhere throughout the whole world making i'tikaf, then 1,000 plus 1,000 times 10, you get so much tawaf if you read Surah Al-Leela fi Quraysh. This is why reading Surah Al-Leela fi Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so much sawab. And there is a hidden message for us. For us, here in this age, that because of deed, because of the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Quraysh wealthy. Because of the Kaaba, they were able to trade. They were able to trade, they went to Yemen, Syria, they went to Egypt, they went all around. And because of trade, they became wealthy and prosperous and honorable. All this came as a result because they were connected to the Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them rich, made them wealthy, made them prosperous because they had contact with the Kaaba. So the message is that if Allah ta'ala makes you wealthy and makes you prosperous and gives you ease in your life, because of deed, because of contact with deed, Allah Ta'ala makes you wealthy. And because of deed, Allah Ta'ala makes you prosperous. Then do not become proud, do not become arrogant, do not become boastful. But what? You must make worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must become humble. You must become one who's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must become obedient to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, that means you are using deed for your own benefit. That means you are using the Quran for your own benefit. Solely, what do we mean by own benefit? That you are using for personal motivation, personal gain, and then you become wealthy in the process. That is why you will see. In Johannes Quran, there is another tafsir, Mawlana Hussain Ali, or Mawlana Ghulam al-Khansab, he states that this journey of the Quraysh, and they became wealthy, it reminds you of the false peers. It reminds you of the false peers. You know the studio peers, these false saints, that they come and by the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of them, you see they are very big size fellows. And you see they have very big stomachs too. And they have very big turbans too. And big tasbihs in their head. And they don't read Salatul Jama'ah. But they say they are very saintly people. And then they want to shake the hand of the woman. Then they want to do very funny things. But in the end, they say, I am connected to Allah Ta'ala, give me money. I am connected to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the On High, that you give me some money and I'll make dua for you. Then while they're walking, they get visions that your son is in Jannah and your father is halfway between Jannah and Jahannam, and all these funny things happen. And then they dream about this, oh, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, and fancy things. And the rich people in our country, they pour out their money to them. And these people take it and they run away, disappear, like into thin air. You understand? So then the commentator says that it is said that these people too must take the warning. These people who are doing this because of deed, they are becoming wealthy. because of they are professing their contact with Allah Ta'ala, they becoming wealthy, they must take the warning that Allah Ta'ala will catch them, Allah Ta'ala will hold them fast, and they should take the warning and they should worship Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. فَلِيَحَمُّنِي رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, that they should make worship of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the small summary of this surah, how we will go about doing it, that do not be overwhelmed or do not be engrossed in the world. See, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying to Quraysh that we have given you permission that you go out in winter and summer and make trade, and then we have taken out hunger from you. You are no more hungry. Why? Because you're getting food, you're making trade, everything. And we have removed the fear. Oh, all sorts of fear. You can travel in peace, you can sleep in peace. Now, because of this, you must not get engrossed in the world. Now, what happens to a person in this age of ours? That as soon as he gets a bank balance, he's got a good car, he's got a good mansion, then he thinks that his purpose of life is complete. That what he has been sent for, now he says, Alhamdulillah, I'm eating 3 meals, square meals a day, I'm sleeping, and I've got a big car, I've got a big bank balance, Alhamdulillah, now I'm okay. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying in this surah, simple surah, Leela figures, that do not become engrossed in the world. The world is going to leave us, and we are going to leave the world. But you must worship Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, praise Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, glorify Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When you do that, Allah Ta'ala will say, see my banda, see my servant, I've given him all this, and he still comes to me, he's still bowing down to me, I will give him more. I will give him more. He said that those that come to remove Tawheed, we destroyed them and gave the Quraysh the opportunity for journey. See, those that came to remove Tawheed, Abraha, they came to remove Tawheed, we destroyed them. This is the belief of a person, a strong Muslim, that no one can remove my faith, no one can remove my Islam, no one can harm my Islam. We must be strong. And we must have this superiority complex in us, that listen, my deed is the best deed, my way of life is the best life. That is why Allama Iqbal stated in one poem that runs, that Islam is like a rubber ball. Islam is like a rubber ball. And the harder you hit it, the higher it bounces. The harder you hit it, the higher it bounces. So those who are objecting, and those that are way against Islam, and those who are mocking, you say this person is following Sunnah, he's old fashioned, he's orthodox, he doesn't know that it's 21st century coming and we are going with the AWACS and the intellectuals here, and this atomic war going on, and this war going on, and this person is still wearing the simple clothing. What is this? No, no, no. Don't be befooled. That we are simple, we are down to earth, we follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, and that lies salvation for us. So the love of wealth must not deter us and must not deviate us from any misguidance, or it must not deter us from worshipping Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. O Quraysh, know that your status has been given to you because you have got contact with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the lesson that I mentioned to you, that we should now believe in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and believe in the message brought to us by Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tafsir Azizi says one nice thing too. He says, fear, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has removed the fear. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has removed fear from them. So, it states there that amongst all the fear that I told you have been removed, it says, what other fear that has been removed from them? It says, the people that are living near Makkatul Mukarramah, those Arabs that are living near Makkatul Mukarramah, and those Arabs that are living in Makkatul Mukarramah, he says leprosy doesn't attack them. Leprosy doesn't attack them. And then he says, this is through experience we have learned, that all diseases and all illnesses come to them, but amongst the fears that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has taken away from them, one fear is that leprosy does not attack. It is stated in another Tafsir Kitab called Ibn Kathir, that if the Quraysh, they worship Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they make ibadat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then besides removal of fear from this world, then the fear of the Akhirah will also go away. Now this address is common. that if we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove all fears of this world for us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove all fears of the akhirat for us. Condition is, فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, that we should make ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The message for the Quraysh applies to us. That listen, if you glorify Allah ta'ala, forgive us the boots, and plus you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will remove all fears from your heart. And the most important fear is that we don't ponder about this, that when we're going to stand before Allah ta'ala. And remember, standing before Allah ta'ala, if a person can develop this one fear, only one fear, that I have to stand before Allah, that is all. Believe you me, he can change his whole life. If he has got this one fear in him, every action now of his will be determined by it. If he's going and he's going to do some transaction dealing, if he's going to behave with his neighbor, or he's going to talk to his father, or he's going to discuss with his mother, or he's going to meet his relative, or he's going to be in bed with his wife, if he's got the fear of Allah Ta'ala, that I am going to be in front of Allah Ta'ala, if he's got that, then he will do everything correctly. Why? He knows that I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Jarir radiallahu ta'ala says that in Leela fi Quraysh, the lamb of Leela fi Quraysh is the lamb of astonishment. That lamb represents astonishment. Astonishment, why? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Quraysh, that O Quraysh, in astonishment, in amazement, that we have saved you from Abraha, we have given you the two journeys in summer and winter, you are becoming prosperous in the transactions, and we have given you also a removal of fear, and also we have removed hunger and starvation from you, and still you don't want to worship Allah Ta'ala. Now look at that. But that very message applies to us. Allah Ta'ala has given us in this category how many things, but are we worshipping Allah Ta'ala? Are we glorifying Allah Ta'ala? Are we praising Allah Ta'ala? Are we going towards Allah Ta'ala? Are we recognizing the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is stated also that, I forgot to mention, that this word Quraysh, it also means to collect, together, to bring together. Well, because one of the Quraysh leaders, he brought the Quraysh together. He brought the Khaddan of the Quraysh together. And obviously when you bring them together, then there is strength in that. And there is also, alhamdulillah, unity in that, and then there is protection, security in that. It is stated in one hadith, before I mention the hadith, that lamb of astonishment also says that Allah Ta'ala says, I protected you from Abraha, I have given you all these goods and favors, and still you worship the idols. Still you worship the idols. فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you worshipping the idols? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying astonishment. One lengthy hadith says, O Quraysh, and many of the hadith, O Quraysh, you sit in ease and comfort at home, while all around you flames of fire are exploding, while you are in peace and safety and sleep at ease. Then what befalls you, O Quraysh, that you do not worship with sincerity and with your heart your Rabb, but you make sijda in front of others? Rasulullah said in one hadith, he's addressing the Quraysh and says that, he said, saying that everywhere people are dying and Allah Ta'ala has given you so much blessings and you don't want to worship Allah Ta'ala, you're taking your forehead and you prostrating it before someone else. So inshallah, we will continue from there. I still have to mention to you that the Quraysh, in the light of the hadith, and the Quraysh, because Rasulullah stated, Al-Aimmatu min al-Quraysh, that the Imams, that the leaders, that the guides must be from the Quraysh. So in political terminology, besides one of many conditions which I will try to bring out to you, that when you elect your leader, when you elect your president, when you elect your Amir, or you elect the one who is going to supervise over you, what qualities he must have. So scholars have had opinions concerning the Quran and the Hadith, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the ability to understand it, or we should make dua for all Muslims throughout the world, there should be protection of life, property, and make dua for everybody, that there should be Amad in our country also. Ya Rahman Rahim, Ya Rahman Rahim.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وعلى ربنا اهدنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وفي العذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي ولاستاذي ولجميع المسلمين والمسلمات والمسلمين واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.